good, because I can see that this one page. Damn them.
While you're looking for that, I'll just tell you quickly what happened to me at the therapist today. You know, the woman called.
Thank you.
The woman called the other day and said, "Come, would you mind coming again? I think I figured you out."
The therapist?
Which one? This was the physical therapist.
This is the good one,
The good one, yeah. The one that I had, the one on Beverly Boulevard. And when I got there, she had, oh yes, I also must teach you about true relaxation. I forgot that. So please, would you remind me?
Can you teach me that?
Yes. I mean, I really know it today. I may very well. I may even give you that today, but we'll see. No, I may send you home also. She said she had another therapist with her, and this is a young man who does physical therapy and also acupuncture and acupressure. And when I came in, she said, "David, lie down." What is that?
It really hurts for some reason.
Yeah, make yourself comfortable.
It's a weird day.
And that chair is, just be sure it's straight. She said, "I don't have MS. She said, "It, you know, now that is the third, you know, first she said I couldn't have it.
That's what she said.
Then she said I had it. And today she said, no, it cannot be. I just cannot be. Because the difference in my movement of the legs after I did the few exercises was enough to show that if you had MS, it would not have improved that much. And yet I have something." Mm-hmm. So he gave me acupressure. I mean, she was very curious about what he was doing and whether it would work.
Is that acupressure electrolytic?
No, acupuncture is with needles.
Oh, and they also do it with electric prods, too.
That's right, that's acupuncture.
I thought that was acupressure.
No, and acupressure is with the thumb. So he went over my body. Mm-hmm. And touched a couple of different spots, because I had told her that I crack, my jaw cracks. She said, this was the other day, she said, that has to do with the small intestine. That's what her friend had been learning.
Are you kidding me?
I mean it. Why?
It just sounds incredible.
It does. So when he came today, he worked both on the places that are connected to the small intestine. And I have to learn how to have bowel movements, but really learn, you know, I mean, I really have to think about it and work on it. I mean, everything is so subtle. I mean, the whole, my whole life, you know, is changing, and my behavior towards my body has to change even more than it has been changing all these years. So when he finished with me, he said, "I want you to come back at 11 on Thursday." And I'm not allowed to use the cane in the left hand, which was a development as of yesterday, because the doctor said it would push the pin in my thumb out of line, and he said I might ruin the surgery. So for a moment I thought, oh dear God, what do I do? But today, I somehow got there without a cane, and did you notice that I walked fairly well? It seemed to me that after the acupuncture, when I got up, I was walking badly, and then it suddenly occurred to me that I didn't need to walk that badly. And I tried myself out more smoothly. I mean, it was concept, and it seemed to me that I walked more easily because of that treatment. Because I know when I went there this morning, I didn't walk like that. So,
I have no problem believing that at all. Silly. I mean, but the cat had... I mean, the leg just was nothing. It was just dead meat.
Uh-huh.
And then the cat was climbing the trees and running over the ropes, and that's a 95%
It was going
fast. First couple of treatments were really very, very small noticeable improvement, and then it just was making contacts and running really deep.
That's what happened to me this morning.
Yeah. And I would absolutely go use it anytime.
Well,
I think so,
because I noticed that I'm not, you know, my gait isn't as wild, you know, without the cane as it was previously. It doesn't hurt quite as much. It's smoother.
When you said you were going to come out better out of the whole thing, I kept hearing that. I kept playing that tape over and over again. My affirmative thought, you know, we went through that period of...
But you know, if I said it really, I think I wasn't meaning it. I believe it?
Yes.
When I said it?
Yes. No, you didn't believe it, but you're going to believe it. Maybe after today.
Yes, I do. I really am believing it. Yes. Okay. Now listen, guys. I'm going to give you a little talk about the relaxation. Because you both need it today. And besides, I have time left on the tape. May as well use it up. This isn't going to work this
No,
day.
That's Dickie. Not going to That's the wrong
tape
attitude.
Tape is just driving me crazy, Dickie. Because Dickie wants these.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
And Ruth does, too.
Look, this has been my... Ruth, what's that word, that we learned in the Dubliners, you know, the epiphany. Yeah. The epiphany, David, as we learned, is a kind of discovery that one makes. It's an epiphanic moment. It's like that moment when you really understand something in your life or in your body or in the bathroom. An epiphanic moment, epiphany. I have been going to the yoga class. And we do these exercises, and I'm the last one, and nobody bothers me, and I do what I can. I mean, I really stumble along. and I'm adorable, right? At the end of the lesson, she lets us relax for a few moments, and then she brings out a huge circle of one color or another, of many patterns or plain, a mandala. And we always have a few moments of meditating on the circle, right? And what you're supposed to do is look at the very center of the circle, and then the energy, you sort of pass the energy over the back of your head and into the third eye, which is between the eyebrow, and which sometimes in meditation even appears to you. Don't let me sound like I know, you know, any of this, because I am a real novice. But that's what you do. You're supposed to just look into the center. And what happens when you really are in an alpha state, a relaxed state, the circle, I know, it just sort of grows larger, or it gets auras. You begin to see around this blue circle, you begin to see yellow, etc. And that shows that you have calmed down and you've been, you know, really doing that particular meditation easily. And you got yourself into that quiet state. You quieted down the mind. But one day, I, in my usual good trying way, did it. I looked and I really felt the energy pass over the back of my head and into here. And I was looking at the circles and they sort of separated a little bit and then they kind of came together. And finally the time was up. And I said to the teacher, she asks each one, and someone, they always say, oh, I saw this and that. Comes to me, I say, well, I think I was trying to move the energy. I mean, after all, this is intangible, and I was still trying. And when you get clued into effort, too much effort, it can be like a breath, can be too much, can be false. See, that's when you're really in touch with yourself. And I knew that I had worked at letting the energy move over the back of my skull and having the energy move. And really it did. But what I was doing was trying to make the exercise happen. And I knew it and I said it and she said it. She said, no, don't try. I said, you mean I just sit there and just look at it like this? She said, yes. So that's my point. I mean, how does anything happen if you just sit and look at a circle? Like that. You could tell that I did nothing at that point. That's what happened, was that I learned the next lesson that if I just sat that way, because I was exhausted with trying, even though the effort was so infinitesimal that nobody knew it but me, I just sat there and I said, I don't care what happens, I don't care if I don't see a damn thing, I'm not going to do anything. So I took the concept look at the mandala and relax and let yourself move into the third eye. And I looked, I did nothing, and in a little while my eyes did something and the mandala changed, and I had a true physical response to what I was looking at because I did nothing. All I knew was what I was supposed to do. Well, now this, I have to take this further. When then, really about maybe a week later, I had to go to the hospital. And of course, the first night, the first two times, I was put on the bedpan. But I mean, you can't, you know, people are like, God, I can't stand that bedpan. I cannot go when I'm given a bedpan. This is what I did. There I was on that bedpan, and I said to myself, I will not try. It's the same as the mandala. I did the same thing as I did in the yoga class. I just let myself lie on that pan until there were ridges in my buttocks. I mean, when they took it off, finally, I mean, there was a rim around my backside. I mean, and yet I functioned. I really went. I urinated because I did nothing. And I knew that in that context, my life depended on being able to use that bedpan. And I was able to use it. It took me a long time. I did nothing, and I kept saying, do nothing and relax. Do nothing. Let it happen. Don't worry about it. Don't be in a hurry. Those were the phrases I actually said to myself, and then I was able to execute the action. So this is what I have really, since I've been doing these exercises, that's what deep relaxation really is. See, so first we have to learn it physically before we can learn to use it, let's say, in a, you know, a stress situation at work, you know, or in a fight or after a fight. Let's wait, because that will come. I mean, that's absolutely connected. The first thing that we have to learn is, what does it feel like to really give up that tiniest bit of effort? And that's what I haven't for all that, you know, my body is fairly relaxed, my tongue is relaxed, for all that I'm fairly relaxed, I have never given up that last little grab. Maybe someday I'll be able to give it up socially, I hope, because socially I still get, you know, just that least bit turned on. I won't be a dum-dum when I give that one up. I'll just be a little more interesting and mature. God, may that day come, God, before I'm too old to enjoy. Okay, this is something I think that you can do at home without, you know, waiting for the lesson, although I don't want you to touch your bodies in any way. If you want to try it, if you say to yourself, I'm going to sit in this chair and I'm just going to look at that picture, see, when you get home, and just see whether you could really sit in the chair like this and see. Did you notice what I just did? I mean, could you feel it? I didn't see, you know, I didn't press on the eyeball to see, but I'm not inert. I am awake and alive to what I'm doing. For the most part, my eyes were seeing, but they were calm. Could you tell? I stopped. Did you notice? It was two breath cycles. I stopped because I could feel it tightening up in my shoulder. You see? So that's that experience. Now that we're becoming more sensitive to what it's like to interfere with that deep relaxation, more and more, with delicate practice sessions, we're just going to move into it. And we'll get it, all right? So I think, like, when you've had our crazy day, you know, a rough day, if you could like just 1 minute, you know. Suppose you even had to go to the ladies' room just to shut yourself off in a booth for privacy and just sort of sit like this and just give up. Did you feel it that I gave up? I was very active as I was talking, and then I sort of gave up. And I had many, many other levels to go down to, but I don't go down to them. My body goes down to them. And that's what I learned on the bed. That's what I have learned, is that, and that's what I wanted to tell you. Like, this is the preface to the book. I did nothing. And that's the difference between fake relaxation and all of these classes where they go, rah, rah, you know, all that terrible stuff. What I did was, whatever my body wanted to do, I let it do. And I kind of followed it. Did you notice, did you ever feel once that I did something? No, what I was doing was, if a groan came, and there were days when groans were much more frequent than today, if the sigh was finished, it was finished. If the sigh moved into a groan, I let it move into a groan. Mm. If the sigh was enormous, I let it be enormous. If the breath was enormous. If I held right in here, that's still very hard for me to release in there. I would just follow that, and when the body seemed to give way, then I was ready to do the next exercise. So there is, in a way, what I have learned in, what I mean is, I've experienced it now for the first time, therefore I have really learned it, is that yes, the muscle does let go, the breath does release when it wishes to, but it's the first time that I ever let it do it, you see. Every other time I was obedient. I took a breath, you know, and then I let it go, and I tried to be relaxed. Nothing. So this is that incredible paradox. You do nothing at the same time that in these incredible actions are taking place in the body. And I thought, yes, they are truly happening in me. That's why I wanted you to see them.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I'm still at a point now where there's such a long descent from the state I'll be in when I begin to relax to what I feel is closer to true relaxed. Are you saying that you should, but it feels like an effort actually to relax. If I'm falling, and then the arm is beginning, and there's stages of the arm relax.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the head might float, and I might fall back. Or mm-hmm. Then I might try to straighten it again. You're saying when you try to do something, stop.
Okay.
When you try to manipulate it, stop.
See, this now is, these questions are very real, and this has to come in the next lesson when I'm fresh and we are fresh. See, because, yes, it's true. What I have reached today, I've reached after many years of teaching, of being taught, see, by many teachers. And it's a combination of my epiphany, my awareness of it all, plus the fact that little by little, my body was re-educated to do it. You see, so that's what has to happen. I will try to re-educate you, okay, in certain release of tension. And we will gather little by little and really take your time for this stuff to give way. We will gather the information, and the body will become more knowing all the time. I mean, each part of the body will become more sensitive to a certain movement that it's doing. I mean, look, after all the years of my working and my being taught, that I should clutch in my top arms. I mean, I really have licked it, though. I just have stopped. But that for some reason, all year, last year, really for about 2 years, all I did was clutch. So, mind you, I've been studying it since 1965, okay, to 1980. Is it 15 years? Mm-hmm. I've been working for 15 or 14 years, got so much of it licked, and there were just whole areas that weren't. So, loving yourself while you are still inadequate. That's very important, David, right? Because the more you harass yourself, the more it holds it up. So, once again, it really teaches you to let go of even the desire to achieve a good thing. That's very hard to believe. I mean, that's very hard to teach oneself. See, that's why everything really does change in your life. Although, you know, I want us to be out there. I want us to get to roles. I want us to, you know, read for parts. I want everything. But I want it in a different physical context. Good? So all the things that you say will be little by little, see? So I believe that you can get the relaxation that I have experienced more quickly than I got it.
I have to. I can't wait 15
years.
Until
you're 60 years old.
Good.
Okay.
Heaven for Ben.
I'm hoping it'd be like 14, 15 weeks maybe.
I'm ready to put these in my wall out back.
That's right. Listen, I give a very quick course, and I'm going to name it the Quick Way to Hot Stuff or something.
Right. Well, we'll get you some matchbooks and stuff.
Yes.
Get them around and get
that's
them right.
Quick Way.
Now, I
Mark.